Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to be in Galatians 6. We've got one more sermon, as far as the way I'm laying things out anyway. We've got one more sermon left in the book of Galatians. And then we've got a Sunday, and then we've got our harvest day coming up, the 23rd of the month. That I didn't announce, but that is going to be a big day for us on harvest day. We're having Steve Foster come in and preach. And Steve is a great evangelist. So I encourage you to invite the people that you know that are not part of a church right now. Invite them and get them here. We're going to have our Thanksgiving meal following, and everything's going to be a great day. We're really looking forward to it. But begin now praying for those people that you're going to invite. And ask God to move in them. Not just invite people from other churches, but those that are not part of another church, to bring for them to come in and spend this day with us and to be able to hear the gospel and see God work in them. Well, as we open up the Bible this morning, let me begin by reading there, beginning in verse 1. We're going to look at the first 10 verses of this passage today, this chapter. And it says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share in all good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith." Let's go to God in prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And Lord, we just pray you continue that work here today. As we listen to the message, speak to us through your Spirit, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. My title of the message today, Everyday Grace. And what I mean by that is, how many of you have clothes that when you come home from work or when you're in for the day, you put those clothes on and they're the everyday clothes and you're really not looking for company when you put those clothes on? They're an everyday thing. They're the things that you're comfortable in, right? We have everyday clothes that we wear to work in the yard, but we wouldn't wear them. We'd wear them to Home Depot, but not to many other places. We have those clothes like that, and we also have the Sunday clothes or the good clothes that we wear. But when you catch us away from town, away from any obligations to anybody else, you find us in our everyday environment, don't you? When your house, I'm sure that all of us have clean houses, but if I come tomorrow and just knock on the door and say, "You mind if I come in for a few minutes?" I'm going to find the house probably clean, but there may be a few dishes in the sink. There may be a little clutter on the counter. It's how you live every day. It's a lived-in house. Versus the way your house is going to be if you're throwing a big Christmas party, clean and immaculate and all that's dressed up and right. You understand what I'm talking about with every day. What we tend to do is think of our faith and our walk with Christ as the Sunday morning. And if church is good, and Sophia's song talking about remembering those sermons, I like the song she sang. Very much, and remembering the Sunday sermons. That's somehow we put that on the Sunday go-to-meeting type clothes that we wear. But God has given us a grace that is an everyday grace. wherever we are, whatever we're doing, God has given us grace that goes with us and is at work in those everyday places. I love to hear people talk about interactions they have at work, how God is using, and they're ministering to people that are never going to come to this church probably, never going to be a part of this church because they might live on the other side of Athens, or they don't live close enough here to actually be brought here and for this to be a practical place for them. But God is using them through that everyday grace to minister to the people around them. And what we're doing in chapter 6, we see the real nuts and bolts application. And so I want you to begin with me down, actually we're going to begin down around verse 7. And the first thing I want you to see in this is that we harvest what we plant. Do you understand that? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. What we invest in is what we are going to gain a profit back from. And the amazing thing, we talked in Sunday school this morning about the amazing grace of God, and somebody can have a life that they sowed seeds, but they weren't good seeds, and they were bad all the way up to a point that they met Jesus, and Jesus can change that life. I'm not talking about that now, but those of us that are walking with Christ, if we're living by the flesh, well, the fruit that we can expect to get out of it is what was back there in chapter 5 and verse 19, the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery. So, well, we don't see those things today, but we do in other ways. But then you go into hatreds, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and carousing, and anything similar. The works of the flesh, if we sow the flesh, that's what we're going to reap. Sow the Spirit, we're going to reap in time love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. You're going to get what you plant coming back to you, what you invest in. We know that this is a natural law of God. You cannot plant a peach seed or a peach tree and expect to get apples from it. You're going to get peaches. If you plant an apple tree, you're going to get apples. If you plant wheat, you're going to get wheat. Whatever you plant in the garden, you're going to get that. The next thing I want you to see out of that is not that this is an unbreakable law, and it's something that if we are investing in the Spirit, we're going to see fruit from the Spirit. If we're investing in the things that make us happy, the things that we think we may need, or the things that we just desire that are of the flesh, then those other things are what we're going to get. We've got to plant good seed. We've got to plant the right seed. I remember my grandmother doing this, and many of the old people doing this, that when you had, when I grew up, everybody had a garden. And every now and then you would have a garden crop that was just a very good crop, and it may have been peas or butter beans or whatever it was. They would take some of the fruit from that, the peas, and dry those out and set them aside for seed. Because if those plants did good, the seed is going to make good plants. That's the way those things work. But I also, when I worked at the conference center 25 years ago down in South Georgia, below Tifton there, somebody had donated land that to the conference center, and it wasn't attached to the main campus. It was had pine trees planted on it. And we decided we wanted to do an RV park right there, and so we had somebody come in and cut half of the pine trees out, just cut every other one and every other row out completely. And for pulpwood and make room there. You know, before they did that, you had pine trees planted in a row, and you had pine straw on the ground, and it was just as clean under those trees as it could be. But after they came in with their skitters and their things that tore the ground up a little bit, the next year we had weeds up to here. All over that. Those seeds had been laying there dormant. But when that ground broke up a little bit, what was there came up. A lot of times we'll say, how did I get here? How did this happen in my life? How did I get into this place? Well, somewhere along the way, we sowed seeds that got us there. But the encouragement that we have today is not about the bad seed, but about the good. It's the things that we're going to invest in, that we have the right seeds. And what are the right seeds, and where do I invest, where do I plant? A couple of questions that we need to ask. Well, the right seeds are walking with the Spirit, but where do we sow? Where do we plant? I had a place that I picked out one time I thought was a great place for a garden. The best place I had anyway, and I planted everything and very little grew because it didn't get a lot of sun right there. It's a bad spot. Where do I plant? Where do you, as a child of God, where do you need to invest your time? Well, let me show you the next thing there. And you can think about the parable of the sower. Paul gives four areas right here. The parable of the sower, you remember Jesus talked about the man that went out and sowed the grain, sowed the wheat, and he sowed it everywhere. Some fell on the road and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocks and it sprang up but burned out pretty quickly. Some fell among the weeds and it was choked out, and some fell in good ground. If we're talking about sharing the gospel, share it everywhere. But Paul gives us four places that we can focus on as followers of Christ, as a church family. And the first is in those who have fallen. We invest in those who have fallen. In verse 1, brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourself so that you also won't be tempted. I could have preached a whole sermon on that one verse because there's a lot there. If anyone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, the idea there is stumbling. The idea is someone catching up to you and overtaking you in a race or in a... think of, if you watch police dramas, somehow the detectives are always faster than the guys that broke the law. And they chase them down and they jump over the hood of a car and they finally jump on them and catch them. They were overtaken. Sin is coming after us. The devil's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we get overtaken in sin. Sometimes all of us do. And sometimes it's a stumble and fall. Sometimes it's a slow walk into a place we never should have started going to begin with. But what we're told to do here as believers in Christ is not to say, well, dummy, you knew not to go there. Why would you do something so foolish? You're on your own. I'm not helping you. No. What we're told to do is restore such a person. The idea of restoring, the word was used when Jesus came to Matthew and Mark. I'm sorry, I'm telling you the Gospels, not the disciples. Peter and Andrew and James and John, as they were on the shore, Jesus came along, remember, and said to them, "All, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." What they were doing there was sitting there mending their nets. Where the nets had holes in them, they were repairing that net. That's the idea of restoring somebody. The idea of setting a broken bone. Helping somebody that has fallen and gotten hurt to get up and go again and be useful again to God. We talked about Moses this morning and how Moses' first big act that he did was go out where the Israelites were, and he saw one of the slave drivers mistreating one of the Israelites, so he killed the slave driver and buried him in the sand. He had looked around and didn't see anybody. Nobody saw him. He buried him in the sand, and the next day two Israelites were fighting and he broke them up, and one of them said, "You're going to kill us too?" And Moses ran. He had done something. He'd done something he thought he might have been doing for God, but he did it the wrong way, and he had sinned and fallen, and there was a consequence for it. But he went to Jethro, his father-in-law. Wasn't his father-in-law at the time. Moses got a pretty good deal out of it. He went to Midian, found a wife, and got a home and a livelihood, and God took care of him for 40 years there. And he mended him and restored him. God wants to do the work in you. If you have fallen in any way, in any sin, God wants to do the work of restoring you. Not hold you down and say you're not fit for anything, but to take you and not say it's all right, don't worry about it, but to take you and begin to do that rehab with you, to strengthen you and get you so that you can begin walking with Him again because He loves you. He gives a warning here. You who are spiritual, meaning those who are walking with the Spirit, who are strong in their own relationship with Christ. It doesn't mean just somebody that's been a Christian for 50 years, but you have just come to know Christ maybe, but you're really walking with Him and it's brought to your attention that somebody's fallen and you want to come along beside them and help. Helping them, praying for them, lifting them up. You who are spiritual. And he says there, watch out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. If anybody falls in the mud, slips in the mud, and you go to help them up, if you're not very careful, what are you going to do? Fall in the mud with them. And then you can't get up. Neither one of you can get up. Go fishing, and you know, trout fishing, and you step on some of these rocks, and I've got boots that are felt bottoms on them, and so they grip the rocks real well. And then you step on one rock that's like glass. And it doesn't matter what you could have suction cups on your feet, and it doesn't matter. You may go down if you're not careful. We slip and we fall, but the job, the place that we invest ourselves is in those who have fallen, and we can help them up. The next thing there, number two in that slide, is carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. A couple of things to point out in that. Carry one another's burdens. Those who are overloaded need some help. Those who are carrying the weight of the world and nobody knows about it, but a handful of people, they need some help. And that doesn't mean that we come and stand in front of the church and say, hey, I'm going to pick on Jeff. Jeff's having a really hard time. Jeff, we need to pray for Jeff. Jeff's, man, they're struggling. No, we just go to them. And I understand you're having some trouble here. What can I do to help? You're just overloaded with life, overloaded with burdens. We carry those burdens for each other. Now, you might say, somebody might say, well, I'm carrying five different people's burdens. I'm helping them with that. And nobody's helping to carry mine. And I'm getting kind of tired of that, man. I'm tired. No. Keep carrying. Carry one another's burdens. If you're carrying too many other people's burdens, you may be meddling in some things you don't need to be meddling in. You may be in too many places at one time. But we carry each other's burdens. That way, we're sharing that weight. When we need help, there's somebody there to help. When we can help others, we're able to do that. Carrying is the idea of hands-on. Not, I'll pray for you, but what can I do? Prayer is great, and prayer is the best thing we can do for anybody. But James said, if you're telling a person that's naked and hungry, basically, I'll pray for you. I hope you get warm and get fed. Put some clothes on them and feed them. We carry each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 6 there, let the one who has taught the word share all his good things with the teacher. That means that you ought to be coming to my house every day with fresh vegetables and bread and gift cards to restaurants and all that stuff. Is that right? No. You take good care of me, and I thank you for that. This is just in the process of teaching this. But here it is that when you're thinking about the one that does stand and teach, not just the pastor, but Sunday school teachers, others that take their time to teach, is taking time away from something else that they're preparing for. And so you share in those good things. The idea here in this first century, there was not necessarily a staff position. The church didn't necessarily pay the pastor. But the one that God had called to be the pastor, they did give to him. They did try to provide for him, because it takes a lot of time to study the Word of God in the right way to be able to stand and preach it on Sunday mornings. There are some seminary professors I heard of that said you ought to spend an hour for every minute you're going to be preaching, studying. Folks, that when we did Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that was about 90 hours a week right there. That guy never had pastored a church, I don't think. He must have come straight out of seminary into being a teacher. But it does take time. And so there are other things that providing for the needs that they can't do. And the church is there to share in all good things so that the work can go on. And we share, verse 10, we share wherever we have opportunities. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. This is not just for our brothers and sisters. Work for the good of all. The person that doesn't know Christ gets the grace from the church and help from the church, then suddenly they have to sit up and take notice of that. Because God is providing. God is taking care of them. A few years ago, a town in Vermont would not allow a church to be started in this little town. There's not big towns in Vermont. The capital's about the size of, well, it's not the size of Lawrenceville. It may be the size of Monroe. But this area, they would not allow the zoning for a church to even just rent a place to meet. And not long after that, that within the year, that town flooded. River swelled up and just flooded that town, and it was Southern Baptist that came in there through the Red Cross and helped muck out the houses, fed the people, provided showers, did so much work. And suddenly, that town, and they not only did that, they shared the gospel in that town. And suddenly, that town changed their mind. They didn't think they were under God's judgment, that God brought that flood there, but the love that was shown to them by believers in Christ changed their mind. The way that we treat others around us, even when they treat us poorly, can tell them who Jesus is. And you say, well, you know, like I was saying a minute ago, I spend all my time doing good for others and I don't get anything out of it. Why should I keep going with that? Why should I keep doing that? Well, God brings the increase, and He does it in His time. There's a couple of things here I want you to see. In verse 9, let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Don't grow weary. Don't get tired in doing good. Does that mean don't wear yourself out? No, it's meaning don't be exhausted. We do use that term burnout today. We get burned out on something, and we have to take a break and step back from it. It is good to be able to do that, to be able to step back and take a break. A few months ago, I had to take a vacation or just go ahead and make an appointment with Meadows Funeral Home. It was just one of those things. I had to get away for a little while, and we got away for a week, and it made all the difference. But don't grow weary. Don't exhaust yourself in doing good. We do that when we're doing it on our own, in our own spirit, in our own flesh. The word good there is defined as beautiful. Don't grow weary in doing the beautiful things. The things that I've been hearing people tell me over the last couple of weeks about how God's at work in them and changing their lives. And I'm not doing anything, but God is. And I get to see that work, and it is a beautiful thing. Don't grow weary in doing this. Don't grow tired in doing this. It's about endurance, about hanging in there. So how do I keep myself from growing weary? Well, where does that endurance come from? It comes from chapter 5 that we spent a couple of weeks on. Walk with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the law, the desires of the flesh. By walking with Jesus, spending that time with Him, doing what He tells you to, you can't do everything. Now, this is not saying that we can't say, well, you know, this ministry, this job is really overloading us, and we need more help, or we need to think about putting some boundaries on it, or whatever. That's not what we're talking about. But as you walk with the Spirit, God will give you the work to do, and you do it. And God will show you things that I've never thought about. God will show you things in other people's lives that I'm oblivious to. I see every now and then somebody just doing something here at the church, providing something, and it was something very much needed, but I didn't know about it. And because nobody said anything to me about it, and I'm thinking, well, if it said something, we'd have taken care of that. We'd have gotten that. But somebody just does it. It's an act of grace that God is giving. Listen, He says we will reap at the proper time. When you plant a garden, don't expect to eat off of it that day. When you plant a fruit tree, it may take a few years to get it established and get it bearing fruit. Some things mature very quickly. Some things take a long time. But when you're following Christ and walking with Him, and He is telling you to plant seed in someone's life like this, it's going to take time for the fruit to show up. You go to that person that's struggling with sin, and you talk with them, and you say, "You're judging me." "No, I'm not judging you. I want to help you." And it may be that you've been where they are, and they resist that. But you still keep talking with them, and every now and then I'm praying for you and just loving on that person, and maybe they'll open up. Or somebody else come along that they'll open up to, and you can help them. But it takes time. I've told you many times, I think, about the guy that God told me to share Christ with, and I said, "Lord, if I do that, He's going to cuss me out and tell me to get out of His face." And God said, "I don't care. go and do that. You tell Him about me." And I did, and He cussed me out and told me to get out of His face. I got to see fruit from that a few weeks later when He had a need and He wanted to talk to me about it. I never saw Him come to faith in Christ. I hope He did, but I did everything I could. We're not always going to see the fruit, and certainly not immediately. But don't grow weary in doing the good, because God is at work in it. God is doing something to bring this out. For in due time, in the proper time, we're going to see the fruit if we don't give up, if we don't let go and just say, "I'm going home." We've got to continue to love each other. It taxes a church. To love each other is a wonderful thing. To start spreading that love out of the walls of the church becomes a little bit taxing, because we get people that don't look like us or don't act like us or think like us. And it gets harder. But if we keep doing it, we will see the fruit. And God will bring that increase in His time. We'll see lives changed if we don't give up. You may be thinking about the harvest day and thinking, I've invited these people to everything we've ever done here at this church, and they've never come. Keep inviting. Go to somebody else and invite them too, but keep inviting. Keep trying to get them here. Offer them the best lunch they're ever going to get anywhere that day, because it's going to be here. And invite them to come. Don't give up. It sounds like a lot of work, and it is. But it's what living in grace looks like. We love each other. We care for each other. We build each other up, and when somebody stumbles, we pick them up. When somebody's overloaded, we bear the burden. We share the ministry. We do these all these things because we love Jesus. And we love each other because we're family. And that's what family does for each other. It's grace. It's what Paul's been preaching, teaching through the whole letter, is everything is done by grace. Nothing is done by the works. Nothing is done by my effort. It's all God at work in me and me being obedient to tell Him to do what He tells me to do. All of it's about grace. And it's all God's work. And we get to sit back and say, that worked. Yeah, I did this. I was obedient to You. And man, God, You actually did what You said. And the next time we're not as hesitant to be obedient to Him. And we see God at work over and over and over again. That's what I pray for the church. I pray that God gives us a spirit of planting seed so that we can see a harvest. It's hard work. But if you don't plant, you don't get any harvest. You don't have anything. Don't know where you are today, what God may have been speaking to you about in this. Certainly, if you need to know Christ as Savior, I want you to come and talk with me today. We keep sharing the gospel every week. The gospel is very simple. I'm a sinner. And I am who I am today because I asked Christ to save me from that sin. And He did. He'll never tell you no. He'll save you immediately. And blessed in a lot of ways to grow up in a church named Center Hill Baptist Church. It just wasn't this church. And learned how to walk with Christ. And God has been using me since then. If you'll come and give yourself to Him today, ask Him to save you, He will do it immediately. He'll change you completely. Do it immediately. Do that salvation immediately. And you'll know the love and the peace and the joy and all those other things that are the fruit of the Spirit as you walk in the Spirit, as you walk with Him. It may be that you need to go to somebody that God's laid on your heart and ask them, can you help them with something? Ask them, is there some way that you can be of help to them? Whatever it is God's telling you to do today. Maybe that you need to come and join this church because we need other people that are going to help and are going to serve and work. The more we have, the better we can bring the gospel into this community. Whatever it is God's laying on you today, today's the day to say yes to Him, to be obedient to Him. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We'll have a word of prayer. Right after this prayer, Stephanie will lead us in a song. And as we're singing today, come. Come pray at the altar. Come sit on the front row and pray. Do whatever you need to, but come today. Don't hold back. Don't hesitate. Give whatever this is to God. Father, thank You for Your word, for Your truth and love. And Father, we pray for our eyes to be opened, that we see the work that You need us to do see that around us, Father, and we get involved in that work more and more. Father, for those that are burdened, for those that have fallen, Lord, your grace is more than enough. But your body is here to help each one. So help us do that, Lord. Whatever the decision that needs to be made today, I pray that we have the strength and the wisdom to be obedient to you. In your name we pray. Amen.